141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European action. Rangers are in Champions League qualifiers, trying to recreate last week's performance rather than Saturday's. On the subject of Rangers, the forthcoming game against St Mirren will go ahead and won't be postponed as was previously suggested, and Lennon Miller's move to Udinese looks set to be confirmed imminently. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley, and replacing Gordon DL, who's in his sick bed, it's the one and only super sub, you've been called worse, Hugh Keevans.
High moment in my career, Marvin, replacing Gordon DL.
Gordon DL's understudy.
I've listened to the programme Sunday evening and last night as well, and Russell Martin's a man who could do with avoiding any nasty slip-ups in Peel's End this evening. He's under scrutiny, but they have a 3-goal advantage, Rangers, and I cannot see other than Rangers being in the playoff round, in the middle of which they will play St Mirren.
Yeah, it's an important evening for Rangers, definitely, like you said, Russell Martin as well, to get through this game with a 3-0 head start. You do expect them to go through it. Hopefully for them, their point of view, there's no injuries. I think Dessa's just went down just now. Looks like he's back on his feet again. But yeah, just to get through this, get to the playoff round, and then deal with the weekend when it comes.
Come on then, 01419511025. Give us your calls. Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley standing by, ready to soak up every opinion you could possibly throw at them. So let's hear from you. It's almost like a watch-along, Hugh. That's what the kids call it, I think, when we have kickoffs at this time, 6 o'clock. So we'll pretty much see the entirety of this Rangers qualifier. I always say the same thing: don't shout at the TV, shout at us. Pick up the phone, let us know what you're making of it as it progresses, and then of course we'll know come the end of the show whether Rangers are through. And surely even Hugh Keevans wouldn't predict otherwise. 3-0 up from the first leg. As always, there's more to it, because Russell Martin's made a couple of interesting tweaks to his team. For all there was a feel good factor in the first leg against Pilsen, lots of that was wiped out at the weekend against Dundee. But then again, Rangers tend to do okay in Europe, and on we go. So get all your thoughts on tonight's match over to us right now, please. You can talk through the game, you can wait till half time or full time. Another piece of Rangers news today, quite interesting one this, because it's a great one for all the fans out there. Have got their own theories about why decisions have been taken. So remember, this season clubs have got the option to postpone a league fixture in between the time of the Champions League playoffs or European playoffs. It looked like Rangers were going to postpone the game against St Mirren. They said previously that if they got through tonight, they'd requested that the game would be postponed. However, today, before we've even found out the outcome tonight, they've sort of gone back on that, a U-turn in tabloid speak, and that game will go ahead. Now, there are a couple of theories as to why that is, because last night, everybody kept saying to me, Celtic could be 10 points clear by the time the teams meet. Maybe that's part of it. I've seen people point out that Nasser Djiga could now serve his suspension against St Mirren rather than Celtic. And of course, maybe just generally, Rangers need the games and need to keep going and need to keep developing, and don't want to take anything for granted, don't want to lose too much ground at the top of the table. So if you've any thoughts, Rangers fans, was it the right decision or not? Any other fans who want to get in touch on that, St Mirren fans even, 01419511025. As I said in the headlines, maybe before 8 o'clock, wouldn't make any promises to you on that, but certainly moving towards confirmation of Lennon Miller's move to Udinese. So maybe we'll get that breaking, but if not, I mean, it's on. He's been captured by Sky Italy at a medical facility in Rome, I think it is, going about his medical ahead of a move to Udinese. So get your thoughts in there. Celtic fans, I've lost track of what day this is of the transfer window, in which you call up and complain about the business you've not done yet. So fine, don't let me stand in your way. And anything else at all, 01419511025. It is 7 minutes almost gone, Hugh. Pilsen 0, Rangers 0, 3-0 on aggregate.
With regard to the playing of the St Mirren game, I have absolutely no doubt in my mind the decision was taken because Rangers do not wish to have that potential scenario whereby they kick off against Celtic on the 31st of August, 7 points behind Celtic. They absolutely want to avoid that. And Djiga's suspension comes into the equation as well. However, if you're Stephen Robinson and St Mirren, you're thinking, they have assumed that they will play us and win. and therefore remove the 7-point deficit scenario. So over to Stephen Robinson and the St Mirren players.
What did you make of it, Marvin? Because it wasn't, I think it maybe been lost in the detail, it wasn't postponed yet,
yeah.
You know, but it just sort of looked as if it was going to be, that we brought it in for the greater good. All clubs in the playoff stages have this option. But is this clearly for you a sort of acknowledgement from Rangers that they're not in the place that they would like to be?
No, I think it's down to the suspension, if I'm perfectly serious? Honest. Yeah, I do.
So more than the potential to beat, you know, 10 points behind,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, listen, because at the end of the day, it's not like they'll still have a game in hand, so they can close the gap 10 points now, whatever it might be. You go and win your games of football that are ahead of you, then you're absolutely fine. I don't think either club would have, you know, said, oh, the opposition might be 10 points ahead of us, we can't afford to do this. I just think you're missing your starting centre-half. He can serve a suspension against St Mirren or Celtic. For me, it's a no-brainer. I don't think it's anything to do with, you know, if Celtic were to beat them or Celtic being 10 points ahead, if
really?
That was to happen.
Nothing,
no,
to do with
I don't. I really,
what,
really don't.
What about a subtle shift then from that argument? Not obsessed with the points, but more, you kind of need to keep the games coming. You know, use it as a development. Don't assume that you then win it down the line. You know, the more games, the better at the moment, as Rangers try and build a level of consistency.
Yeah, it could have been more to do with that than the whole Celtic thing. Yeah, potentially Russell Martins looked at it and thought, do you know what, I think the playoff game would be a Tuesday, wouldn't it? It'd be a Tuesday, Saturday for them, or a Wednesday, Saturday. So it's something you have to get used to. If they're going to be in Europe, if they're going to be in the Champions League, you're going to have to play these games anyway. So yeah, it could have been more of that, you know, listen, let's just get a run together. This stop starts obviously not helping us at this moment in time.
So you're back. Anyway, let's focus on the game tonight, first of all, because it's quite important. And right now it's more important than the rescheduling of that fixture. So Marvin, as we all know, Rangers 3-0 up. Still an interesting task, this, isn't it? Because, of course, you know, what do you do? You're very comfortable in the tie, but Russell Martin will probably want to win it. You know, as Hugh says, there's probably a PR bit as well that you don't want to lose 2-0. Yes, you'll still go through, but you don't want that on the back of the weekend. He's also made a couple of changes back to before. James Tavernier's back in. Max Aarons is out, but carrying a knock, apparently. And Nico Raskin comes in and Joe Rothwell out. So I think I'd be right in saying that would be the only time Aarons and Rothwell haven't started since he came in, or certainly it would be quite a rare situation. So those are the changes, and those are quite significant ones.
No, they are, definitely. Especially with Raskin coming back into that holding midfield role rather than, you know, being a number eight, which he has played under Russell Martin. I think his strong position is as a number eight. There's obviously competition now in there with Rodwell. So, you know, Raskin's been given the chance today to go and perform, but you hit the nail on the head there. You know, Russell Martin's going to want a good performance, and the players, they need a good performance and a victory across there. Yes, if they lose 1 or 2-0, they still go through, but it's about today's game, especially on the back of what happened at the weekend. They need a reaction to that, and it needs to come today.
Every aspect of Russell Martin's head coach style has been questioned by the Rangers fans on this programme since they drew with Dundee. Now, part of that is the fans don't care for Aarons. They've had an early look. Knew he was playing on the wrong side of the park, but when he was on the right side of the park, they're not sure about him either. And they were baffled to find a Rangers team without Nico Raskin when it was clear how much he meant to the side. So I'm not saying that Russell Martin has bowed to the fans, but I think he's aware of what fans are saying about him, his team, and every aspect of his coaching style.
But then it's also sort of resetting everything, because the decision to drop Nico Raskin in the first place was for this game last week, mm-hmm. Marvin, and then that was seen to work, and it was brave and it was bold. But then when it doesn't work, and in fact it goes completely the opposite way at the weekend, then maybe that's where there's food for thought. And some really revealing comments. We in this show love managers to be open and honest, but he was very open and honest about Nicholas Raskin yesterday, wasn't he? Talking about, I think somebody's, basically I'm paraphrasing, but somebody's been in his ear, you know, if not at bids, but somebody's been in his ear, and, you know, certain things that he wants him to do and so on.
Yeah, listen, it affects the modern day player. Listen, it affects all players. If it's an agent or whoever else that's speaking to the players saying they're going to get this move for them or that move for them, it's probably why Russell Martin came out and said there hasn't actually been any bids. And agents will do that. It's their job, you know, to try and build up interest, but can take a player off their game as well. And sometimes players need to remember what got them into the position of people actually wanting them or being on the verge of bidding for them. You know, so to go away from that, which he felt Raskin obviously did do, you know, he took him out of the team. But he obviously feels he's in a good place mentally to go and play, and he's definitely a positive for Rangers when he's starting.
Still goalless then, 12 minutes gone, 3-0 to Rangers on aggregate. Keep the calls coming in. Stephen is going to kick things off. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, panel. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Just already nervous watching this game. So basically, my point is about Russell Martin and the St Mirren game. I think the fact that they've chosen not to postpone it, like you says, it's the possibility of being of going into an Old Firm game 7 points behind Celtic. I think, and the possible permutations of after that, if we could beat with Celtic. I think if we beat Dundee on the Saturday there, we would have postponed. And I think that just shows you how nervous Russell Martin is about his start.
Is that the way you read it, Hugh? Your learned friend here is not sure, but could we just chalk that down to him being a newcomer to this part of the footballing world?
Yeah, we may have a culture gap here. because I am born and bred Glaswegian, and there is nothing more important in the lives of Glaswegians who support Celtic Rangers than that Old Firm derby. And Rangers will not, under any circumstances, run the risk of starting that game 7 points behind Celtic to lose and be a symbolic double-digit gap away from Celtic would be totally unacceptable. And if you're saying it's all about Nasser Djiga's suspension, you are also insulting St Mirren by saying we can leave him out against St Mirren. It doesn't matter. But Celtic, no, we must have him.
Yeah, surely you'd rather have him against Celtic than not have him, though. He's a starting centre-half for them. So, without being respectful to St Mirren, they're a weaker team than Celtic. There's no doubt about that. So, surely it's common sense for anybody in the management position. If my player's got to miss a game, whether it's against St Mirren or Celtic, I'm going to pick St Mirren.
For sure, but
they have not rescheduled this match. They have not done it because of Nasser Djiga. They have done it because they are not going to have Glasgow on its ear on the 31st of August with Celtic having a 7-point lead. And incidentally, with respect to your own team, mm-hmm. I'd have to say, I think you have to bear in mind that Celtic are not in a position where they can say being at home to Livy is a foregone conclusion either. I think you and Davy Martindale deserve more than that. But for me, this decision has been taken for no other reason than they're not going to start the game, potentially, hypothetically, 7 points adrift of Celtic.
Did you afford Dundee the same respect that as the weekend when
well,
they went
I'll say to you that the former Rangers goalkeeper, Cammy Bell, said 3-0. The former Rangers player and former manager, uh-huh. Gordon Dale, said 3-0.
Did anyone describe it as a gimme? Was that only you?
It would have been a gimme if they played properly.
okay, because I'll test your theory, Marvin. Mm-hmm. Rangers beat Dundee at the weekend 4-0, but Nasser Djiga gets sent off in the last minute. You think they're still making this alteration?
Yeah. I genuinely do. Because we're speaking about it. What are we? We're in August, and we're speaking about, oh, they could go 10 points behind. But if they believed in themselves as a club, they could be, you know, 4 points behind. They could beat Celtic potentially in that game and still have a game in hand.
They'd be going into it 7 if Celtic beat your team.
You're about to say mob or something, wasn't he?
10 is the big word here. 10. I beg your pardon. I have to say again, you clearly do not 100% understand the culture in this city.
Oh, he's firing shots now. I was joking about it. Do you know what though? See, last night was quite revealing to me, and I don't gauge everything off the phone lines, but it's always quite an education. The number of callers from both sides who phoned up last night to say the gap could be 10 points, I think that tells you the sort of the feeling around it.
Yeah, from a supporter's point of view, 100%. But as I said, from Russell Martin's point of view, and listen, if it's been taken out of his hands, and it's been taken out of his hands in terms of playing the game, they still ultimately play the same amount of games as Celtic come end of the season. So I get what we're trying to make this kind of massive thing about it. Oh, it could be 10 points. Potentially it could be 10 points, but then that gap could be closed. Things are going to change drastically between now and May. It could get bigger, it could get smaller.
But Stephen, for you, because you're a Rangers fan and you're sort of more siding with Hugh's theory on it, is this about the timing as well? Because obviously Marvin's right. If literal Marvin wants to be accurate about it, yes, they do play the same amount of games. But if you fall behind early and then there's this perception of chasing, and then there's this perception that what Russell Martin's trying to do isn't working, is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. And I also think it's just the optics of it. If that did happen and we were 10 points behind, it's the double digits, the start of a rebuild, we're behind Celtic again, we're chasing again. It's just, I think the Giga suspension is just a convenient coincidence for Russell Martin to use.
Listen, it might play a part as well, for sure, and everybody can have their theories, because I suppose you were, what it does to the... And again, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I was shooting this down last night, funnily enough, and saying that, you know, there's quite a lot of ifs attached. But what it would do then to the dynamic of that fixture is, if it was 7 points going into it, a draw that day becomes a really perfectly good result for Celtic.
Yep.
Doesn't it?
Yep.
You know, and it might be anyway, away from home and all that sort of stuff. But that then puts that complexion on it.
I am assuming that Rangers will be okay tonight against Victoria Pilsen, and it's still 0-0. And they do have the legal advantage. Therefore, they will play in the playoff round to see if they get into the Champions League. In the middle of the playoff round, perhaps against Club Brugge or Salzburg, they have now decided that they will play this game against St Mirren, which will be a very demanding fixture. Rangers went to Motherwell and made a mess of it. They were at home to Dundee and made a mess of it. There's no reason to suspect that they'll just wander into Paisley and suddenly be terrific. But in the middle of this playoff round, they are now willing to risk injury and the possibility of a poor result because they are not having the 7-point scenario.
Stephen, what about tonight then? 3-0 up, so I mean, you must still be confident of progressing from there.
I think we'll get through, absolutely, but I think the performance is important. I think we can't just accept a 1-0 defeat and all well we're through. I think what's happened recently, we need a good performance, because I think a lot of people won't be happy if we just scrape through. I think there needs to be a big performance away from home tonight. Mm.
I think also, Hugh, you know, Russell Martin talks about, I mean, he's played here before, you know, he knows the environment. I've always sort of thought that nothing truly, truly prepares you, though, just for the little idiosyncrasies, or just even the comments that might just be taken 5% the wrong way.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the online reaction last night when Russell Martin was speaking before this game, and he said, "Well, we're unbeaten so far."
Yeah.
And a lot of, and no, hold on a minute, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Dundee and Motherwell feels like defeats. Please do not bang on about being unbeaten. So, you can see why Stephen and others just want to keep.
There are people now, Gordon.
And by the way, they might be in, but Oliver Antman is snuffed out.
There are people now already, and we can all laugh and mock and do whatever you like. There are Rangers fans who already want Russell Martin out.
But then the whole world has got a bit knee-jerk, hasn't it?
Yeah, like, of course.
It's just sort of the way things are done now.
You know, but there will be a percentage. It's not for me to put the exact number that I think, but there will be a percentage of Rangers fans who say, "I don't like the look of this already."
Marvin, what we've seen tonight then, we're 20 minutes in. Anything that's jumped out for you?
It's been a pretty level game. You just spoke there about Antman nearly being in, Dessa's overhits the pass. But yeah, I think both teams have had attacking opportunities without really working the goalkeepers. So 20 minutes into the game, Rangers will be the happier of the two because obviously you've got that 3-0 cushion. But in terms of performance and really taking the game to the opposition, they haven't done so. But there's still plenty of time to go.
Okay, 01419511025. Good time to call. We will do our very best to get you on next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 01419511025. We are 25 minutes in between Victoria Pilsen and Rangers, still goalless, which suits Rangers down to the ground, of course. 3-0 up from the first leg. Let's bring in Billy. How are you, Billy?
Not so bad, Gordon, yourself, sir?
Not bad. How would you sum up how you're feeling at the moment, then?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for taking my call. And good evening to Marvin and obviously Mr. Keevans.
How are
evening.
You?
Evening.
To be honest with you, tonight I think it's going to be a defeat for Rangers. No, I'm not saying they're going to get put out by any matter of means. I think it's going to be about 2-0. Because I just, after watching the game on Saturday evening, I just can't see where anything's going to happen, to be honest with you. And I really fear. And this game against Owl at the weekend, I think that's going to be a tricky, tricky game. I mean, we went up against Queen's Park last year, and we were shown up for what we were. It was at home, the same as we're at home this year. Allah was going to come and do exactly what Dundee done the other day. I don't know if they're as good as Dundee. I have no idea. But and then the game against St Mirren, wow, I'm not looking forward to that at all. Because St Mirren are a top side. You know, they're organised, they're well-drilled, and they're... And Rangers just... I just can't see what's going to happen with Rangers.
See, Billy...
I'm not saying I want Russell Martin sacked or nothing, but something's got to happen. Something's got to change for the first two games in the league.
Are we sure it's not, Billy, just to check it, because right? I know what can happen when the dread sets in, but... You're letting it grab you a bit too much. With no disrespect to Alawa, you're already seriously fearing that tie, or thinking it'll be really tricky? Surely not. Because I know you mentioned Queen's Park, and it can be done. I get that.
No, I'm sorry.
But what would the, even just the, I don't know, Hugh, the probability of Rangers losing to Queen's Park then Alawa in consecutive seasons?
Yeah, I mean, Billy is symptomatic of those Rangers fans who are looking at Russell Martin's work early on, and they are decidedly unsure of what the future holds. Now, Jack Butland's just had a very good save. It's still 0-0. Pilsen are swarming all over Rangers at the moment. You know, Billy's right. You know, if it was 1-0, 2-0, it would be another black mark against Russell Martin's name. I still believe there's no hope of them going out of the competition at this stage, and they will survive this experience. But I think I agree about St Mirren. I don't think you can make any assumptions at all about St Mirren away. But if things have come to the stage where you're worried about Alawa and Ibrox,
penalty shout but waved away for now by the referee, Cyril Dessers goes down.
That'll be looked at. But, you know, again, it cannot have come to the stage where you're worried about Alawa at Ibrox.
Yeah, I totally agree. Listen, we all know what happened in the Queen's Park game, but I can't see Alawa going to Ibrox and getting anything at all. You know, that's one of those games about being disrespectful. Rangers have to dispatch of them, but not only in scoreline, but in performance as well. But Billy's obviously, you know, got his concerns from the domestic games they've played so far this season. And equally, as Hugh said, the way they've kind of been in the last 5 or 10 minutes here, they've been a bit camped in. So, yeah, they need to up it a bit. They look a little bit lethargic, Rangers, at this moment in time.
I mean... Billy mentioned the tonight, you know, thinks we'll lose 2-0, but, you know, still go through, and it won't be an ideal situation. Are we not just back to where we've been a million times? This was like the theme of the show last night. Already you can see it here, and the Rangers, I'm not saying they're playing brilliantly, but these games just suit them far more, because there's going to be space in a European game anyway. And tonight, this team have got 3 goals to make up, so they absolutely have to come out. This has never been the challenge. This has never been the bit to get worried about.
Yeah, this has always been the bread and butter for them, hasn't it? In terms of being in Europe. So, yeah, these games do take care of themselves, as you said there, especially, you know, when they got the 3-0 lead and the other team have to come out and try and get after them. But domestically, they need to up it. There's no doubt about it. Yes, it starts with Alawa, but then you're talking about the St Mirren game that's going to come as well. So, yeah, they have to start improving in that. And the fans want to see something, you know, from Russell Martin's team. Now, something slightly different than what they've seen before. And at this moment in time, they're not seeing it.
The biggest surprise for me, we all knew the story of last season. Rangers in the Old Firm games took more points and were better than Celtic in the Old Firm games. But they made an absolute mess of it elsewhere. And now we're 2 weeks into the season. They've gone to Motherwell, and by Russell Martin's own admission, we're lucky to get a point. And at home to Dundee, they've got a point with what I would have to say I thought was a very soft penalty. So they've just continued in the same vein, even though it's a different team and a different head coach.
Soft penalty for you, was it, at the weekend?
Yeah, I thought Gassama knew exactly what he was doing, and thought it was soft.
Yeah, totally agree. For me, it wasn't a penalty. I was actually quite surprised the referee wasn't called across the monitor to.
You don't think anything's a foul, though?
No, exactly. I'm back in the days of having an equaliser, one tackle for free.
Billy, what do you make of the decision to reinstate, if that's the right word, the St Mirren game? Is that wise?
Yeah, definitely.
And is that so that Giga can play free from suspension, or is it because you don't want to fall too far behind going into the Celtic game, or what's the main thinking?
No, I just want consistency in the team. See this, you play out and then all those games missing, and we need to get a momentum going. Now, it's up to Russell Martin, obviously, to either change it or insist on what he's doing. But we need a momentum. We need the players to be playing on a regular. And, you know what I mean? But I think the system that we've got just now just does not suit at the moment. And I know there's a lot of new players coming in and a lot of players have got to get used to it. But at the present moment, I just think it's no working. Let's get this sorted. Because when I watched it the other day there, I was like, wow. After last Tuesday night, I was like, hey, here we go. Bah, 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 bah. And then all of a sudden, Saturday, I was like, what is this?
You know, what is it you're not seeing, Billy? What is it that you're not seeing that you want to see? Like, what? Obviously, you go and watch Rangers a lot more often than we do in the studio. What is it that you're not seeing that you thought you might see from this team?
Consistency.
But in terms of what? Attacking-wise? In terms of, like, pace?
Attacking-wise, yeah. Yes. I mean, all I seen the other day was Suter getting passing the ball. They've done their bit, and then all of a sudden they go near and they're like, coming towards near the third, and they turn back. Well, let's get it back to Suter. Passing it. I hate to see this. I've seen it so many years at Ibrox, and it's unbelievable we're still doing this. Get a hold of players. Players need to take a grasp of hold, and this playing it for the back, I just don't see it happening for Rangers.
It was quite striking on Saturday, Hugh, wasn't it? Yeah. Because we've seen it. I think it is important to try, even in this mad part of the footballing world, to sort of calm down a bit and realise that, like, you can drop points.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing, despite what we had a laugh about on Saturday, is a gimme. But Billy's probably right. The nature of it didn't look like it's supposed to look. You know, some Dundee, they're not really hanging on. Rangers are not really creating anything. John Suter, as Billy says, what was the stat? He had the same amount of passes, or pretty much the same as all the midfielders combined.
Yeah.
These are I think there will be a tiny, tiny level of patience to try and get to where Rangers want to go, but the fans just want to see signs in these games, don't they?
In our endless naivety, we assumed that Russell Martin and all the new signings and the Fourth Engineers Enterprises would be a massive breath of fresh air at Ibrox. And it started in the way of Philippe Clement. You know, with points being thrown away, Dundee came to Ibrox having lost at home on the opening day of the season, having lost their best players in the transfer window during the summer, and were better than Rangers. As the first caller, Stephen, said, it's about the optics. The Rangers fans are looking at this and thinking, how can you go from wiping the floor with Victoria Pilsen 3-0 at Ibrox to a display such as the one that was put on against Dundee?
Thank you, Billy. What about Ian in Barrhead? How are you, Ian?
All right, Paro, I hope you're well. I just think there's a massive overreaction. I mean, I can see what the guy's trying to implement. I like his style. We dominate the ball. I think in the long run, we'll get results playing the way we're playing.
Even the version of it on Saturday, Ian, because I'm totally on board with giving it time. We're so knee-jerk here. It can be suffocating at times. We go from game to game. So in theory, I'm totally with you. But, like, show me your working, if you like. What did you see on Saturday that you think could work?
But Saturday, there's another team in the park that they're very well set up. It's not, like, the thing that Celtic have that we don't, they seem to get over the line. They're getting the late goals, but they're still, they're playing a similar way. They're waves of attack, getting in behind. Just, I think we'll find something that'll click.
But that's what I'm saying, though, right? Again, you might totally be right, and I'm not. That's not the point I'm arguing. When did you see waves of attack and getting in behind on Saturday?
Well, when we conceded, it kind of gave it. That goal had to happen to wake us up.
Listen, everybody's entitled to their own, but I'm trying to make that sort of an objective part, Marvin. I'm not sure many people did see that at the weekend.
No, watching the game at the weekend, I think, you know, Rangers dominated possession in a defensive third and the mid third. But I think, as Billy said there, a lot of it was far too safe. You know, when you thought they were going to go forward, they end up turning out and going backwards. And at times they're keeping possession for possession's sake. So you know, in terms of Dundee actually, you know, hanging on by their fingernails at the end, they weren't. You know, they didn't rely on their goalkeeper to pull off save after save. And that's always the most difficult bit, is in the final third. But Rangers needs to find a way. Obviously, I spent a bit of money on two wingers coming in there, and they have to create more. I think that's the problem with Rangers. There's no problem, you know, getting to that middle third, but it's that last bit, that last little bit of quality, as, you know, Ian said there, that Celtic have, you know, someone to put off a little bit of magic or to create something, or, you know, to at least create big chances. Rangers don't seem to be doing that last bit at this moment in time. But I will hammer home that it's super early days for Russell Martin.
Oh, of course it is. Look at the calendar. Ian, you, the kind of development today, apart from the game, is that St Mirren game. You happy enough with that? You think that's a good call to get it back on?
Yeah, definitely.
Which side of the argument are you on? Hugh Keevan says it's about keeping the points gap smaller. Marvin Bartley says it's about Nasser Djiga's suspension. What do you think?
I personally, it pains me to say it, but I think it is to keep the points gap smaller.
Yeah, this is the city we live in.
It's very uneasy though when everyone's agreeing with you.
Yeah, but that's because they're my fellow citizens. I'm sitting beside a white boy from London here. You know, this is the be-all and end-all, and they're not going to have that scenario of a seven-point gap. But, as I say, first of all, you assume that Celtic will beat Livingston at Celtic Park. No, and therefore, you're wrong to make that assumption.
I like that.
Because Celtic aren't in a position, particularly up front, where they can be guaranteed anything. Secondly, who said that you'll go to Paisley and beat St Mirren? St Mirren will put up a very spirited show there. And that is far from a foregone conclusion as well. But the basic premise here is that Rangers have said, under no circumstances are we going to run the risk of starting the game on August 31 at Ibrox, 7 points behind Celtic. No, thank you.
Did you hear about him at the weekend? He's had to be punished eventually. The nation demanded it. He'd just gone too far with his predictions. He said that it was going to be a gimme for Dundee, which
for
Rangers against Dundee, which I objected to. And we metaphorically shook on it. It was all very friendly.
Yeah.
But we said, okay, if you're going to describe it as a gimme, you can't be allowed to do this reckless willy-nilly stuff all season. If Rangers don't win by two or more, you're banned from predictions for next week.
Oh, wow.
So he's currently... We didn't expect to see him tonight. He's off the subs bench to replace the injured Gordon DL. But he's currently serving a 1 week suspension from predictions.
See, Marv, I am an entertainment on my own.
Exactly.
That you are.
But I think that's fair. I think we can all take that in the right spirit.
Yeah. I think it's fair. You know, I think he's taking it in the right spirit.
Because like a player, when they come back from suspension, they might have to think about diving in too.
Yeah, they think twice.
What I haven't figured out yet is whether, like, repeat offences mean more.
It starts to total up.
Like a two-game suspension.
Have you learned your lesson, though,
one
Hugh?
At the moment.
Well, you see, I did my video pretending to be Liam Gallagher. And I think it went to my head.
Anyway, right, thank you to Ian. I think there's definitely room for Ian's take on this. Calm down, I think it will come good. Let's wait and see what happens. 5 minutes to go until the break. So Victoria Pilsen 0, Rangers 0. I mean, Marvin, this is where tonight is... It does stand alone, but I can see why it doesn't to others, because they want to see a continuation. But nobody's pretending this has been like a brilliant Rangers performance, but this is perfectly fine and good and acceptable for the situation that they find themselves in.
Yeah, exactly. The situation they find themselves in, because they perform so well at home. So, you know, they deserve to be in the position that they are. Russell Martin will be very, very relaxed on the sidelines. As you said, maybe not too much with the performance, but sitting at 0-0 obviously puts them in driving seat with, you know, 15 minutes to go in this game.
To be fair, it's even at that. They had a little spell looking at had defending to do, but...
It's their playing out. They're going a couple of times.
They're not really getting outplayed or anything, are they?
No, but they've caused their own problems in terms of a couple of times Butland's played a ball into the centre of the park and it's been robbed. I think he's played one to Suter as well that got robbed of the ball, put him under unnecessary pressure. So as things... Oh, and getting behind now.
Yeah, Pilsen, and they have scored, so that changes things. That's maybe where the nerves now kick in, because Rangers, yes, have the advantage, but it's now a 3-1 advantage 5 minutes before the break. A nice move down the right, cut back, slammed into the relatively unguarded net as Jack Butland and everyone pushed across for the cutback, and that definitely changes things, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, it changes the whole complexion of the game. It's the perfect time to do it. You know, the crowd are thoroughly enjoying the moment. Half time, Rangers will have to think about how they've been playing in the first 45 minutes. There's a defensive slip there, and you know that they've scored a very good goal.
Oh, Marvin,
The slip's one thing, but
no, Jeff, it's the bit before that.
Yeah, Jeffy's positioning as that ball's going over his head. It's so poor for a player playing at that level. He watches the ball go over his head, knowing that the winger's going to take his touch past him, and he still continues to run towards the winger rather than reassessing where he is and taking up a different position. And, you know, ends in a goal. I mean, the two centre-halves don't cover themselves in glory either. Neither of them are marking, you know, two attacking players in the box. But ends up in the back of the net. Russell Martin will be so frustrated at that, because that's not down to a manager, Gordon. That's down to you individually as a player.
And questions have been raised about the bravery of these players. You know, can they handle this whole weight of the Rangers shirt, etc., etc.? Well, now is the test of their bottle.
But to be fair, Marvin, when this early on in this rebuild of this project, this isn't a secret. Russell Martin has said that publicly that Jeffy needs to do more, needs to learn more, needs to be better, to be like nailed on first choice. He said that Max Aarons wasn't a long-term solution at left back. The problem is the Rangers fans didn't even feel he was a short-term solution at left back. So this is nothing that will surprise anyone. Yilmaz has to get sold if possible. Get another one in. Unfortunately for Russell Martin, he's got what he's got tonight, and that's not clever from Jeffy, is it?
No, it's not clever at all. And as I said, it's a long ball forward. It's not even a fantastic pass that's been played. Jeffy's positioning and his lack of defensive awareness allows them in behind him to then the ball slammed into the back of their net. And it doesn't seem any real desire from him to even go out there and to do his job. Yes, he slips over. That can happen to absolutely anyone. But his position that he takes up before that was really, really poor.
Right, Rangers fans, when we return, the halftime whistle will have gone, so you've no excuse. Whatever you're thinking about the first half, tell us all about it. 0141 951 1025. I look forward to hearing from you.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Can Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley have your halftime thoughts, please, Rangers fans, right now? 0141 951 1025. Give us a call right now, because at the break it is Victoria Pilsen 1, Rangers 0. Russell Martin's side still leading 3-1 on aggregate, but still not really what he would have had in mind this evening. There wasn't loads in the game. It wasn't a great Rangers performance, but there wasn't really loads in it. Looked like it might get 0-0 at halftime, but 5 minutes before the break, a bit of a lapse in concentration, will we call it, then a slip by Jeffy allowed Pilsen to pull the ball back. The finish got slammed into the net, and it really changes things in terms of mood and atmosphere, I'm sure, in that Rangers dressing room. So give us a call right now if you can. What did you make of that first half? 0141 951 1025. What did you make of it, Hugh?
My biggest concern for Rangers is that Victoria Pilsen aren't very good, but they have now opened up a chink of light for themselves because of a goal conceded by a defence that was error-strewn at that moment, Jeffy, simply not good enough at that particular moment, and it just changes the complexion. A goal for Rangers early in the second half would be a very good idea, because that just throws water over the fire that's been lit, and Rangers would then hold on. But right now, the Rangers fans are looking on with concern.
Yeah, I think it's a quite difficult half-time team talk now for Russell Martin, because just before that goal went in, I said it'd be relatively relaxed. They're 3-0 up. The performance hasn't been great, but now they sit in a situation where, does he come after the players to demand more from them, or does he remind them of the scoreline and say, listen, we're still two goals ahead. If we can, you know, get ourselves back into the game in terms of playing a little bit better, playing the ball forward a little bit better, and keeping it out at the back end, because, you know, I'm with you. If they concede another goal, you know, in the next 20 or 25 minutes, I'm not sure those Rangers players, you said about the weight of the shirt, Hugh, I'm not sure they're ready to deal with it.
Well, they'd better be, because this would be not to go through tonight with a 3-goal advantage would come under the heading of calamity. Mm-hmm. And Russell Martin would be under the most severe strain. They were so good against Victoria Pilsen in the first leg of this tie. So overwhelmingly good. And you thought, well, they'd go there and win. But they've gone back to the mediocrity that the fans looked at on Saturday against Dundee.
Having said that, it's a different type of game, Marvin, because it was always going to be that there are spaces. Rangers are getting forward. It's more end-to-end. It's more open. The goal is probably an example of that. You tell us. It's a free kick to Pilsen on. Is it about the halfway line? What happens thereafter, and how disappointed will Russell Martin be?
He'll be massively disappointed because, as I said, you know, it's a crossfield ball that's hit. You know, fullback in that sort of position know the ball's going over your head, so you get yourself between man and goal. And Jeffrey fails to do that. He just stays underneath the flight of the ball, knowing that the winger's going to take his touch, and he's going to find himself in massive trouble. Whether he thought he had the pace to recover and was willing to get into a foot race, which he clearly didn't have, I'm really, really unsure. But from the opposition's point of view, you're going to keep hitting on that ball because he really struggled with it. As I said, if you can't win that initial header, you have to get yourself back into a defensive position. He doesn't do that. And then the next mistake for me is the two centre-halves. They have to pick up the two centre-forwards in there. They're both marking space. And they end up, you know, trying to slide across in front to block the ball. By then, it's too late. Just pick up your man and then deal with the ball coming to the box. They fail to do so. So Russell Martin will not only be really disappointed with Jeffrey, I think he'll look at his two centre-halves and say they could have done better as well.
Do you think that will carry an extra or a different type of frustration because Russell Martin knows he's got a slight issue at left back? He's said as much. He said Max Ahrens wasn't a long term solution. He then got moved in favour of James Tavernier. People have taken a couple of looks at that and are not sure that that's working either. And Jeffrey, who he again has publicly said needs to do more there, is probably at fault for the goal.
Yeah, listen, he'll be highly frustrated in there. He really, really will. And you know, like you said, if you said to Jeffrey that he needs to do more, That isn't doing more for me. That really, really isn't. So it's a question of, you know, can he play as a fullback? And that came from Rangers fans before, by the way, last season. Defensively, they're saying how poor he had been. But that, for me, that's a huge, huge mistake from him to make. So Russell Martin has to address that at halftime because, as I said, the opposition will keep hitting that ball now and keep testing him. So he either alters the shape of the team, takes Jeffrey off, or he says to Jeffrey, listen, this is what you have to do in those situations, which, listen, he's a player playing for Rangers. He's been brought for, you know, a fair bit of money. Surely he knows better than what he did there.
Just, I'll get the final word from you, Hugh, but to go one more to Marvin about maybe the tactical side of it or the way it's going, will there be an extra worry there as well, Marvin, that, again, look, because of what we said earlier, this was meant to suit Rangers. Mm-hmm. Okay, people are saying, right, okay, fine, we've not managed to learn how to break down the low block yet against teams like Dundee, but actually the open, expansive bit that was there last week is not really there.
Yeah, no, he'd be saying to his front players as well. There's no doubt about it, Gordon. Yes, you know, defensively they let that goal in, but his front players haven't done nearly enough. You know, the balls came into Dessers a few times and his layoff's been sloppy, or he's at the centre-half nick in front of him and turn possession over for them. You know, he's needing more from his wide men. So I think it will come across the whole board in terms of the team. The performance has to go in the right direction because, as I said, at this moment in time, they find themselves two goals ahead. But if they don't up their game and they keep trying to defend the way they are defending, they're going to concede again. And as I said, from there on, it's squeaky bum time for them.
What's the psychology then, Hugh? How much does that play a part in the way this tie is sitting at the moment?
Go back to the Rangers fans who believe that the players, some of them, don't have the bravery. And it was Russell Martin after Motherwell who spoke of self-preservation that kicks in with some players. Well, they're under pressure. I repeat, a goal for Rangers would be an extremely good idea, because it would just turn the whole night in Rangers' favour and they'd get out with people saying, never mind Victoria Pilsen not being very good, Rangers aren't very good, but at least they would still be in the competition.
Okay, big second 45 coming up, but before we move on with that, who do you fancy about this?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on down, Beat the Pundit time. It's Hugh Keevans or Marvin Bartley there for the taking, if you ask me. 0141 951 1025, lines close at 7.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley are here. There's a big game about to take place on Beat the Pundit, but there's another big game in Europe, and Victoria Pilsen still half-time lead Rangers by a goal to nil. It's 3-1 to Russell Martin's side on aggregate. So a watch-along, if you like, tonight. And phone us as you go, though. Let us know what you're making of it. I suspect if another goal goes in to the hosts, we might get a flurry of phone calls. But either way, do get in touch and let us know. Other news doing the rounds today was that non-postponement now of the Rangers' trip to St Mirren. I suspect we are moments away from getting confirmation. It's been one of the transfer sagas of the last year. Lennon Miller, where will he go? leaning into the stereotypes, Udinese, Hugh, have uploaded to their Twitter feed a picture of the Loch Ness Monster.
Ah.
Come on, guys. Seriously.
Well, as you know, Italy is my favourite country in the world, and I was doing a little research on Udine. Population 200,000, 30 miles from the border with Slovenia. Sold their top goal scorer to Napoli a few days ago. So it works one of two ways for Lennon Miller. Either it's a good place for him to go because he's not under a tremendous spotlight. It's not one of Italy's top clubs. And he'll get game time. And on the other hand, difficult place for a young boy to adapt to a new country.
Lazy stereotype, that. Can't stick the Loch Ness Monster up for Lennon Miller. My goodness, anyway, that's going to be done in the next few minutes by the looks of it. So we'll give us your thoughts on that as well if you could. But we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And I wonder if people think I'm lying when I say these things, but genuinely by accident, because I hadn't looked at the Beat the Pundit screen. I've only got one screen, right? Uh-huh. So for anyone who cares, I can either look at the phone calls, and then I'll maybe click onto Twitter or whatever, and then I'll go back to the phone calls and so on. And the old fancy radio studio had four screens at once, right? Yeah. So I hadn't seen the caller, and tonight's Beat the Pundit contestant is a Motherwell fan. So we'll be able to talk to him at length, I'm sure, about Lennon Miller at some point. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, I'm good.
Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
Nope.
Okay, who would you rather face out of these two?
Probably you.
Okay. Will we talk Lennon Miller after Beat the Pundit? You want to get it out the way?
Go after.
You might break down to tears.
Do you know what it's like? Stephen sounds quite nervous to, you know, like your wedding day, Hugh, when you said, do you want to do the speech before the meal or after? Do you know how to get it out of the way? Do the nerves?
I loved it. My two daughters' wedding days, I loved it.
Ah, but you're a showman.
The father of the bride speech, oh, Marv, you could have filmed it.
Oh. It's an exhibitionist. I don't doubt it. Is it not your anniversary coming up?
Thursday.
Brilliant.
54 years.
Anything nice planned?
This woman has stuck by me for 54 years. We're going special meal, overnight stay.
Oh, okay. Like it. So, but you'll be here on Friday.
I will.
Can't wait to hear all about it. I'm sure the nation
agrees.
But
that day's fed up with me.
Right, Stephen,
one year at the house.
If it is the blue side of the coin, it will be Hugh Keevans. If it's the red side, it will be Marvin Bartley. Let's do it. And it is blue for Hugh. Okay, let's do it. Stephen up against Hugh. So we give Mr. Keevans something else to listen to. You, Stephen, have 30 seconds on the clock. Just answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Cool.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Where would you find the Pat Stanton stand?
Pass.
Simon Donnelly and Phil O'Donnell left Celtic for which club in 1991? The Latin for "we trust" appears on which Premiership team's badge?
Livy.
How many points were Edinburgh City deducted last week?
12.
Victoria Pilsen play in which Czech city?
Prague.
Andy Irving started his career at which Scottish club?
Pass.
Who grabbed a brace for Dundee United at the weekend?
Pass.
Name any Scottish Championship manager. If you've got time, name any Scottish Championship manager who's got a Scotland cap.
Scott Ryan.
Okay, Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
Okay.
Same set of questions, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Where would you find the Pat Stanton stand?
Easter Road.
Simon Donnelly and Phil O'Donnell left Celtic for which club in 1999?
Sheffield Wednesday.
The Latin for "we trust" appears on which Premiership badge?
Kilmarnock.
How many points were Edinburgh City deducted last week?
15.
Victoria Pilsen play in which Czech city?
Pilsen.
Andy Irving started his career at which Scottish club?
Hearts.
Who grabbed a brace for Dundee United at the weekend?
Dolcek.
Name any Championship manager in Scotland who's got a Scotland cap?
Scott Brown.
Okay. What are you thinking, Stephen?
I've been destroyed.
Do you know what's not
you?
Very unnerving though. I feel like you upped your game there. But like, as if you're not usually on a Tuesday, as if you had a point to prove. Chest puffed out. Do you feel
that? Because he was substitute was brought on. Good reaction. That's what people want.
I'm dealing with a suspension from predictions. So I've got to come back in the only other way I can, and that's Beat the Pundit.
I've got a bit of a sympathy for you, Stephen. You sound like a young man. Would that be fair?
Probably the same age as you.
Right, okay.
40-ish.
behave. I just felt like the first couple were put it this way, I knew Hugh would get the first two, mm-hmm. guaranteed. And I thought once Stephen didn't, I thought, well, maybe we've got an issue on our hands. So let's go through them. The Pat Stanton stand. Even Marvin Bartley would have got that.
Yeah.
Mr. Hibbs. Easter Road. Simon Donnelly and Phil O'Donnell. You dived in, Stephen. You did a Hugh Keevans. You heard Phil O'Donnell. You went Motherwell. But it was where they went after Celtic, and it was Sheffield Wednesday. 2-0 Hugh Keevans. The Latin for we trust appears on not Livy, Stephen. It's Kilmarnock. What's
pure
the word
guess.
Again?
Pure guess.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it confidimus or something along those lines? Yeah, look that up for me. You guessed that and got it right.
Pure guess.
You were quite quick with it. I thought you had
rapid.
Edinburgh City were deducted 15 points. It's a 4-0 Hugh Keevans.
I tipped them 4-0. In my pre-season predictions to win the league, and now they've been deducted 15 points. They're now minus 12
at this
stage, and they're bottom of the league.
That's still happen.
Why you're banned from predictions?
That's ingrained in my mind now. Edinburgh City and 15 points.
See, on that actually, that the depth or the breadth of reaction to your banning from the predictions has been interesting to me in social media, ranging from some people saying, no, hold, you can't ban him, that's his thing, bad predictions are his thing, to other people saying, nah, that about right, about time that he was put in his place, to others who then say, can't believe you're not pulling Hugh up for his bad predictions. We've banned the man. What more do you want? Anyway,
you're on for a 10 here, I think.
Stephen, this is where I'm worried about you, I must admit, because you almost fell for it. Victoria Pilsen playing Pilsen, not Prague. Oh, honestly.
Oh, Stephen.
I know. So Hugh's five not up. Bad. However, Stephen, I always say, as long as the listener doesn't get a zero, because I feel bad when that happens, you got Andy Irving, started at Hearts. Mm. You did not get Dolcek. So Hugh has got 7 out of 7 so far. It's a 7-1. And the managers in the championship with a Scotland cap are Don Cowie, Barry Robson, Mark Wilson, and Scott Brown. So Stephen got it, but so did Hugh. It's 8-2, which means Hugh's going for the 10. Could it be the first 10 of the new season? Wow, two really tough questions left though. True or false, Kilmarnock have won the top flight more recently than Hearts or Hibs?
True.
It is true.
Oh!
Here we go for the 10. Which country is Hibs player Rafael Salinger from? Even Marvin doesn't know this. I think that's too hard for the 10. Ralph Salinger.
Austria.
It's Austria! What a sensation! Many of them as he guessed. Speechless. We've rendered them speechless. Oh. For the first time ever.
A fluke. For my suspension. To the music.
From zero to hero in the space of 2 days.
Hugh, that is tremendous.
I should retire now.
Yeah, should just walk out.
No, don't.
Yeah.
Everyone will agree with that. I'll have to find someone else. His guest, Kilmarnock. Wow. His guest, Austria. But listen, you need a bit of luck on your side.
Yeah, it's a bit of knowledge behind that as well. It's an educated guess, Hugh. It's not just you're not just plucking that out of nowhere.
I tell you what, the pause before Austria, it was like something off of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where you think, are they going to do it or are they not? That was magnificent. Do you know what, Stephen? Surely you don't mind losing to that. You've helped him make history.
The fact I just went number 10 is don't think you're hanging about him.
Well, yeah,
that's a bad thing. Your mates are going to rip you,
no,
mate.
No, because like, I know 2 is disappointing, right? But you couldn't have beat 10. So what more could you have done?
That's true.
Unbelievable. Hugh Keevans, the first 10 of the new season. Life in the old dog yet.
My 54 year wife was rearranging the kitchen. She said, are they all these mugs? I'll just throw that out. And it was a mug that you remember the man made me a mug
when you got 10 last time.
10. And he put all the answers down on it. And I said, you must never ever touch that,
because I won't get another one. But so, now,
well,
who knows what's going to come in the post this time?
It's deserved. It really is deserved.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
That was
well
brilliant.
Done. Right, Stephen, we'll take advantage of your good nature. Since you're on, you're a Motherwell fan. Lennon Miller is, if the grainy picture of the Loch Ness monster that Udinese tweeted an hour ago is anything to go by, he's about to join Udinese. What do you make of it?
I think maybe Stephen more needs deal. I think we probably get a bit more, but we can't be too upset about that. It's a good deal for us, and probably a good deal for him as well.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of a split in this. Do you think the £4.7 million fee, and there are add-ons that could go on top of that, you expected more?
Honestly, see with a year left in the deal, probably not.
Yeah.
The fact that it's even more than that, then yes. But the fact that it was only a year left, you try to compare it to Turnbull, because Turnbull went for however much it was, but
yeah, I think three and a bit.
A year left, I think that's probably a good deal for us.
Yeah,
and probably the add-ons, I think we'll do well.
Yeah, I mean, I think the add-ons could be potentially another million at some point, depending on what Lennon Miller does. Marvin, I always felt that the contract bit was getting overlooked by some. I am as big a Lennon Miller fan as anyone. We're now down to 10 months left in his contract. I know it's easier when we just speak in generally, and we have nice arguments about what's that player worth. But see, unless you take the contract length into account. Now, I know Motherwell's sort of feeling on this was they still felt they had quite a strong hand because they've had so many bids from different clubs or so many inquiries from different clubs. And I think their sense of it was, well, you can't all get them for free next season. So forget the contract. If you want them, you're going to have to buy them right now. I feel like 10 months left, 4.7 million. That's decent, isn't it?
I think it's a fantastic deal. I think Motherwell negotiated a really, really good deal. Obviously, Lennon signed an extension to his contract as well. Wouldn't look like he was going to go the first time. I think it's perfect timing for them as well. I think it gives Motherwell more than enough time with the window remaining to spend some of that money. Obviously, some will be reinvested back into the football club, as they always do. And listen, they send Lennon on his way, thanking him because of what he's done for the football club, even though he's such a young age. And he gets a good move for himself as well. One that I think he's going to go into a football club and be given the opportunity to play, which is the most important thing for him. So yeah, as I said, all round, I think it's a good amount of money and a good move for the young man.
I think you can understand now why it would have been irresponsible of Motherwell to play Lennon Miller in the matches, because now things have been finalised. You can understand the enormity of the deal for Motherwell Football Club.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly dragged on a bit. It all started to really move over the weekend because the manager said he was potentially going to feature against St Mirren. He then didn't. So straight away you think, right, something's happened over the weekend. Yesterday morning, spotted at Glasgow Airport, flying to Rome, did the medical in Rome, travelled to Udine, is that how we're saying it? Yeah,
I think the Italians pronounce it Udine.
Udine, this evening, and it's about to get finalised. That's the kind of understanding of the way it's worked out. And yeah, 4.7 million. Is there a part of you, Stephen, that as much as you sort of loved having him, see, because everyone's known that he was going, is it almost good from Motherwell's perspective as well to have this done, know that the money's definitely in, whether that goes then back to the transfer budget? There's not a chance it all does. It probably goes towards building a new training ground or something. It's so transformational. But is it nice to have a kind of line almost drawn under it?
Definitely. I think when Turnbull left the last time, everybody thought that was going to be like a new training ground or whatever it is. But the timing he left it go, then that obviously the money, it wasn't great for Motherwell at the time. So I think it's we'll shake his hand and thank for his service. But it's sad to see him go, but it's good money back into
He's still a teenager, isn't he?
He's still 18.
18, yeah.
19, might be this week, actually.
You know, Stephen has been kind and saying shake his hand and thank him for his service. You know, he's 18, and Motherwill have copped for possibly over £5 million.
Do you think it helps Marvin as well that, because, I mean, he's their best player. As it stands, he's their best player.
I'm not going to the caller.
But you know that Motherwell fans are sort of already excited about the season. They feel like his departure, not to say it won't be felt, but you know what I mean? It's usually, if your best player leaves, you think, oh, how are we going to replace him? But there are nice signs that the midfield might function okay this season, or better than okay, according to a lot of people. And you've now got, like we said, you are at a club where you would sit probably slightly below Motherwell financially, but not in a different stratosphere. That's a proper amount of money. That, like we said, we're probably in the realms of, are you putting that towards a training ground?
Yeah.
We're not saying, you know, you maybe get an extra player here. We're talking about probably something that the club looks to transform their infrastructure with. You know, Stephen mentioned David Turnbull. If you look back at the timing, you know, everyone talks about how good Motherwell's pitch is. That's because that's because some of the transfer fee from David Turnbull was spent on a new pitch. So
yeah.
It'll make a big difference, won't it?
Oh, it's massive. It really, really is, you know. And like you said, £4.7 million for for a centre midfielder. Normally it'd be like an attacking player, you would think, you know, to go for that amount of money. So yeah, in terms of Motherwell, they'll be absolutely delighted to have received that fee, and they deserved it. You know, they brought him through, they played him and they kept him in the team, Kettlewell, and obviously stayed in the team since then as well. And like you said, it would make a massive, massive difference to them. You know, some will be reinvested back into the academy where he actually came from to look for the next Lennon Miller. I think a training ground or improving the training facilities will definitely be one, and also bring in players. So yeah, you can't underestimate how much money that actually is to a club of that size.
And also, I do understand, and you're perfectly correct, he's Motherwell's best player. However, they did negotiate a draw with Rangers.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And also, yeah, you know, St Mirren's not an easy place, and they got another point there. So happiness all round.
Right, thank you to Stephen, by the way. We're approaching the hour mark. The scoreboard still makes okay reading for Rangers, or does it? Yeah, for now. Another let off at the back. Pilsen 1, Rangers 0, 3-1 aggregate. The biggest talking point from the second half, Cyril Dessers has gone off, Marvin. Don't want to do amateur physio from the other side of Europe, but looked a bad one.
Yeah, it looks like a knee injury, whether it was a contact, because the player actually runs just across the face of him. You know, but they're definitely testing his knee. Then he, you know, he goes off the pitch and Danilo comes on. So yeah, it doesn't look good at all in terms of that. Straight away, they were giving the old signal to get him off the pitch, that he wasn't able to continue. So yeah, it's not a positive one for Rangers at all, but they're still only 1-0 down.
Sharp intake of breath, Hugh, because he's either viewed primarily as Rangers' best striker,
yeah,
or someone that you maybe would look to sell for a few million pounds before the end of the window. So
it's a double whammy.
An injury either way, would not be good news.
I mean, James Tavernier remains the only person to have scored for Rangers, you know. So they're not holding on for dear life here, but that was a good chance for Victoria Pilsen. Had that gone in with more than half an hour to play, the alarm bells would have been ringing.
Okay, let's bring in Barry, who's in the West End. How are you, Barry?
I'm good, panel. How are you?
Good, thank you, Barry. What made you call tonight?
Well, last night I heard that person, I don't know who it was on last night, but they put that conspiracy about Brendan Rodgers with his tie against Morwell in 2019, just put that to bed.
Right, just you're right. In case anyone doesn't know what you're talking about, so last night we had a caller who said Brendan Rodgers wasn't wearing a tie at Pittodrie, which is true, and that was... I'm trying to figure out if Rangers have scored here. They have.
Cameron.
There we go. That's a game changer. That should be Rangers home and hose now. Lyle Cameron has equalised on the night. 60 minutes gone. Pilsen 1, Rangers 1. Pulled back into the box. Lyle Cameron with the finish. 4-1 on aggregate, Marvin.
Yeah, that's game over now. It's a fantastic run as well. And a brilliant ball played over top. I thought he actually was going to let it... I think it's Diamande. I thought he was going to let it go for...
Ooh, is he offside? Oh. It'll be tight, but it stands for now.
Yeah, he does really, really well in that right-hand channel. Pulls it back. Danilo, I think, is a scuff shot. And Cameron reacts quickest to put the ball in the back of the net. I think it'll be extremely tight in terms of the offside call. But at this moment in time, it's Rangers 1.
Hugh, we'll get to Barry makes an interesting point that I do want to elaborate on. Yeah. If this does stand, and nothing to suggest it won't yet.
He looks offside, I have to say.
No, I'm not sure. He was kind of moved...
It's difficult for me.
It's just hard to tell. Is that Rangers through then?
Oh, without doubt. Yeah. I mean, as I say, a goal for Rangers would have been an extremely good idea. They've just had an extremely good idea. And that's that. The tie is over and now Rangers await either Salzburg or Club Brugge.
Right, Barry's point. Last night, caller came on, said, no tie for Brendan Rodgers at Pittodrie. That was alarming. It was a sign that he's chucked it. The caller was saying, and he also said the last time he didn't wear a tie was when they played Motherwell and then he left straight after. But Barry, you're on to debunk that theory, yes?
Yes, I am indeed, yes, because I sent my picture to you guys on Twitter to prove it. So if you have a look in the Twitter feed, you'll probably see it.
I see it now. Okay, great. So indeed, there is Brendan Rodgers wearing a tie against Motherwell in 2019.
I, you know, Barry's quite right to put the matter to bed, but I listened to the call last night and I thought, this is prime Super Scoreboard. This is what makes this programme what it is, the radio phenomenon that it is. And it was wonderful entertainment, but as Barry's pointed out, factually incorrect. Now, Barry, comes the hard part. What about Brendan Rodgers getting some help? And instead of, never mind his tie, what about getting a player?
You know, I think it depends on getting through to the next stage of the Champions League. I think if we get through to the next stage after the playoffs, then I think Celtic will invest. The board will obviously invest, but we need to get the players in soon. It'll probably happen near the time we the end of the transfer window, I reckon. Like last year it was, so yeah.
So the Celtic board have assumed that Slovan Bratislava or the team who have a one goal lead over them and that they play tonight, the Celtic board have assumed that, the to use my word, that's a gimme. Celtic will just qualify.
Well, you never know. Obviously I'm hoping they go through and qualify, but if they do qualify, then that's when the board will obviously look into getting players in, other players in. So that's what I reckon.
Well, we'll see in time. Thank you for clearing up Tygate. 01419511025. Rangers in a much better position now, and actually playing like a team that knows they're in a bit more of a comfortable position.
And Pilsen, their players know that, yeah. It's all over.
4-1 on aggregate. That Lyle Cameron goal, the only potential sour note is an injury to Cyril Dessers. We'll see what that looks like. And we'll move on. 01419511025. If you call now, we'll do our very best to get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Hugh Keevans are here at 01419511025. Get the calls in. Rangers still 1-1 on the night, 4-1 up on aggregate. So very much cruising through, unless there is the collapse of all collapses to come. Rangers will be in the playoff round for the Champions League. Let me give you a full-time teaser from Jim in Drumchapel. This is pretty tough. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This is tricky. Jim says, can you name 9 sets of siblings, brothers, since 2000 to play in Scotland's top flight, and both must have over 50 appearances? So there are 9 sets of siblings or brothers since 2000 to play in Scotland's top flight. They each must have made over 50 appearances.
Clyde Banks' first family, the McGinns.
The McGinns, yes. 3 of them, of course.
Caddins.
Yep.
McCrory's.
Nicky and Chris. Robbie McCrory has got just under 50 top flight appearances, I think, so no.
Kelly's.
Sean and Liam, yes.
Ferguson's?
No. Not since 2000.
Oh.
That's not a bad start, actually.
James and Alan Forrest?
Yes, well done. There's a ball over Rangers crossbar. It won't really matter again. Rangers now in a very commanding position. Right, we'll get back to that teaser. Thanks to Jim and Drumchapel. It's a good question, that one. Really good. And if you want to use your question on the show, you want to give a suggestion over and hear your shout out for it, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's go back to the phones. John Paul's there. How are you?
Evening, Gordon, Hugh and Marvin.
Evening, mate.
What have you got for us?
Obviously, I listened to the show last night and the call about Brendan Rodgers' tie. I didn't think there was anything in it, but I'm not actually talking about Celtic signings. And the Rodgers are making a bigger statement by his team selection. And I'll put my point to the guys and yourself, you know. Celtic signed Trusty for £6.5 million last year. They signed Ida for £11 million. We've had a full pre-season, there's no excuses, and both of them have been on the bench. That's a clearer message to the board to say that they're either not good enough or he's not happy with their full commitment or their input in the team. You know, Celtic, it's getting beyond the joke now that Celtic aren't going out and strengthening now. Dyer might have signed a new contract, which I'm led to believe was to play as a number one striker. He's clearly not happy at the wing. But Rodgers is making another point by playing Ida, who is struggling at the moment, who isn't your number one striker. You know, he's supposed to step up with Kyogo being away. You know, I look at strikers throughout that we've had Odson, Edouard, Kyogo, Xhaka, Marcus. They all came in and done it. Ida's not doing it. Rodgers keeps on playing them. You know, it's quite worrying. But it doesn't help that obviously the team at the other side of the city are absolutely rotten, because they're dropping points. They can't win. They're supposed to be everything that Celtic are, supposedly, right now. But you know, Celtic have got 6-6 and they're tagging along nicely. You know, a struggle at St Mirren, never really got to second gear against Aberdeen. But
every Celtic fan knows we need to strengthen. We finished the season last year at Aberdeen with Forrest and Yang in the wing, and they're the possible two people that could start for us and dive in either through the middle. You know, I think it needs to be more. And as I say, the two biggest signings that we made have sat on the bench for the first two games.
I said in my Sunday newspaper column at the weekend that when Brendan Rodgers left Celtic in 2019, the fans put up a banner saying, "You traded immortality for mediocrity." Well, my suggestion now is that Celtic are asking Brendan Rodgers to achieve immortality with mediocrity. Ida is not up to the task. Yang will never be up to the task. They are going for a playoff round in the Champions League, and they have signed no one to play up front beside Maeda, who's the only one up there of any substance. They still persevere with Liam Scales. Now, he's been an honest pro for Celtic, but in terms of the Champions League, Liam Scales, you have to have better. And Trusty is clearly not to Brendan Rodgers' liking. I think as things stand at the moment, the board are letting down Brendan Rodgers by this gamble that they are clearly prepared to take, a two-leg playoff for entry to the Champions League and no new signings.
We're sort of covering a lot of the same old ground on this, Marvin. Specifically on the first point, though, that John Paul makes, what conclusions should be drawn from the fact that the big money signings of Trusty and Engels are not starting the games at the moment?
Sometimes we get caught up in the valuation or the price paid for players, and ultimately Brendan Rodgers will pick the players who either have trained the best or have played the best during pre-season, or just suit the game that they're going to play in. So, yes, you know, Trusty's on the bench and Engels also, but clearly the players who are keeping him out of the team have performed better. Brendan Rodgers won't pick his team based on how much somebody was brought in for, how much somebody's paid on a weekly basis. He'll pick the best team that he thinks can win that game of football for them. So at this moment in time, Liam Scales is starting. I know what Hugh's saying in terms of Champions League. Do they need better? Potentially, but he did keep a clean sheet, or was part of a defence that kept a clean sheet in the Champions League last season. So yeah, those two players on the bench, but he does need reinforcements. There's no doubt about it. Brendan Rodgers has said it. The fans know it, and the board will know.
And then to be fair, because the guy that's keeping Arne Engels out of the team is another new signing from this season. So yeah, that, you know, that's maybe a different issue to the sort of Liam Scales one of, like, you know, you keep trying to sign better than Liam Scales and you've not managed it yet. But you know, Nigrin Q, he's a new signing. He's looked decent. He's come in. He's scored.
Yeah, particularly his price under $2 million, a bargain. But I go back to it. Celtic are willing to negotiate the Champions League playoff round while not strengthening a squad that is clearly weaker than it was at the end of last season, and I find that unfathomable.
Do you have confidence, John Paul, that it will be addressed? Because we all might look daft come the end of the window. Just might, but I wonder how confident you feel.
I actually do feel confident. As I said, there's a team at the other side of the city. Absolutely nothing to worry about. You know, that's been the case for years. But for us, as a point of view, I do think we'll go through the tie. I do think we'll go through either Almaty or Slovan Bratislava. And by the way, I'm not sitting here saying Engels. I do like Engels. I genuinely do think there's potential in there. He's a good player. But Celtic are dicing with going through and not signing any new players. It's just buying straight up not good enough. That isn't good enough. There should be
more. And they are letting down Brendan Rodgers. I don't know whether you agree with that, John Paul, but they are. You give the man the job and you have to give him what he needs to do the job. And if you take the year 2025, the loss of Kyogo, Matt O'Reilly, Nicholas Kuhn, Greg Taylor, that's an awful lot of class that's gone out of the Celtics.
I do agree with you here. You know, Brendan Rodgers left the first time and fans had something to moan about the way he'd done it. You know, see, this time, if he come out and says, well, I've already said I want to strengthen, I want to get better every year. We're not any better than last year. You know, the boy Nigrin does look good, but we're not any better. Tierney's a different level, obviously, but we're not any stronger up front in your wings, you know, and I like James Forrest as well, but Adam Ida is not going to cut it at Celtic. He is not going to be an Odson Edward. He's not going to be a Kyogo, but you can guarantee every week, if you're struggling, then you've got to pop up with a goal, you've got to do something different. He's just not going to do it, and he's not up to scratch. So I think that the other one, Brendan Rodgers, then.
What about the theory, Hugh, that, and the problem with this is, there's so much speculation because you don't know who identifies the players, you don't know who presses the green light on them. You're always told it's a sort of team effort anyway, and Brendan Rodgers gets the final say. But other people are pointing at the money spent on those players last season that John Paul mentions.
Yeah.
The fact that they're not playing and saying, well, you know, that's how the money was spent last season. You know what? So what? You're saying the board are letting Brendan Rodgers down? Did they let him down last season when they, you know, this time last year when they got all that money?
With the benefit of hindsight, you know, the Engels has not yet assumed the stature of an £11 million player. Trusty is not an automatic first pick at all at £6 million. However, Celtic, the sale of Nicholas Kuhn was wonderful business, £17 million for someone that you bought for a fraction of that sum. Kyogo, £10 million. Wonderful business. I go back to two games against either Slovan Bratislava or is it Kazakhstan, the other team?
Yeah, Kairat Almaty.
Almaty. How can you run the club responsibly yet take the gamble on a Champions League playoff round when you have not strengthened? Brendan Rodgers is sick and tired, fed up, saying the front line needs help, the front line. And he talks about Adam Ida needing competition. He doesn't need competition. He needs to be replaced.
What's your take on the time frame, Marvin, with the playoff looming?
Yeah, listen, it's obviously from Amanda's point of view, Brendan would have much preferred to strengthen before these ties. I've spoken about this before. If they do go into the Champions League, obviously they're going to have more money, which I think allows them to get a different calibre of player. So, you know, Brendan and the board may be looking at this moment in time and say, well, if we pull the trigger on these couple of signings, that's us kind of done. Or if we can get through this tie and we can bring in a better standard of play, because ultimately they paid £9 million for Adam Ida, which is a lot of money. Do you expect them to go and spend that money again, Hugh, on another striker, or strikers going to come in and be
well,
for less?
We don't need to specify the amount of mm-hmm. money, but surely you can quantify the loss of class up front. Celtic's goals in the league game so far have been scored by Hatate, by Nygren, and by Luke McKeown. You can't rely on your midfield players scoring all your goals all season long. The gap in class is there, and it needs to be addressed.
They'll bring players in, though, won't they, before the end of the window? There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but what about this Champions League playoff tie?
Yeah, that's stop between a rock and a hard place with that. No, and I totally agree. I just think if they do go through the Champions League, which they're expecting to do with the current crop of players, I think it opens up a different calibre of player for them to bring in, and they'll be game changers rather than, you know, going too early with it and thinking, you know, these players aren't even going to come in and start for them, you know, if they were to bring in a new striker or a winger, whoever it may be.
Okay, thank you very much to John Paul on the line. Ryan Kearney's sent me a message to say that Barry on the phone stealing my thunder 24 hours later because Ryan sent the picture of Brendan Rodgers with his tie last night. Who knew that the tie choice or lack of would, it must be like the first time that you did this show without a tie. That must have been like a huge moment.
Yeah.
Now look, he's got two buttons.
I know.
I thought it was three there.
Actually, stripping
two buttons under.
Oh, it's very, very warm today.
It's roasting in here.
But I've actually fallen out with ties. I can't be bothered anymore.
Wow.
That's huge. That is huge news.
I like it, Hugh.
Right, just under 10 minutes to go. Pilsen 1, Rangers 1, 4-1 on aggregate. That will be that. So why don't you give us a call, Rangers fans? How are you feeling? I don't think anyone will say it's been wonderful on the night, but at this stage of Europe, I know you're looking for signs and all that, but a 4-1 over the two ties, surely you've got to be at least content with what you've seen. Give us a call right now, please, 01419511025. On your teaser, we're looking for the 9 sets of brothers since 2000 to play in Scotland's top flight, but they must have each made over 50 appearances. So the McGinns, the Forrests, the Caddens, and the Kellys, Sean and Liam.
McGowans?
Nope.
Ryan, mate, tell your brother to improve at football. Must have been lower league.
I'm going two more that I think are kind of doable. The other three are quite tricky because one's quite far back in that period, from, like I said, from 2000. There's one that you should definitely get, Marvin.
Oh, cheers.
And
mate,
I hope you're humiliated by your colleagues and peers in the next few days for not being able to get this.
Still got 20 minutes left. That's not good though, is it? Two brothers.
I'll let you get back. I'll get back to you on that one. Okay, get your calls in. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Marvin Bartley are here. There has been a goal in Pilsen. It's gone the way of the host. So Rangers still fine, still pretty much going to go through, but they trail on the night. And Russell Martin spoke about being unbeaten so far last night, which I don't think necessarily landed too well with some Rangers fans. It looks like that will go out the window this evening. But again, the big picture, trying to go through, still in a very strong position to do so, Marvin. 4-2 up on aggregate, 2-1 on the night. You want to analyse it a bit deeper. It was another really poor goal to lose, wasn't it?
Yeah, and listen, it's probably been coming. You know, Rangers have been, you know, their own biggest, like, kind of enemy in terms of trying to play from the back, and Butland's given away a few. He does pulls off a top-class save. You know, they're getting down Rangers' left-hand side as well. But yeah, you know, the ball comes into the box. I spoke about it with the first goal. Jeff D made the first mistake. The two centre-halves weren't picking up then. But Rodwell, for me, you know, he's no way near the man. Ball gets swung into the box, probably 7 yards out, centre of the goal, and he's just not picked up, headed into the goal. Butland's left with no chance. Russell Martin will be absolutely seething with that defending, because right now Rangers, any ball that comes into their box, they're second to it every single time. And as it goes up in quality in terms of, you know, going to a playoff round, and if they get to the Champions League, that's not going to be good enough, and he'll know that.
Just a quick bit of breaking news confirmation from Motherwell. Well, not the detail, but there's a video being posted on their social media feed that says, "Guess this is it then," and it's an emotional goodbye from Lennon Miller. So that will be that. We said it was imminent, Udinese, so it will be announced, is it, pretty much now by both clubs, you would imagine. So there we go. The transfer saga that's been going on for a while comes to an end.
Hard to believe so many Scottish players in Serie A now.
Incredible.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Do you think, see, if you think about it, all kind of started when you did that tour of Italy on your summer holiday a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I spread the word. I think Liam Henderson, I think then was at Verona.
Yeah, he was kind of first, but then the real influx was...
He's now at Empoli.
Sampdoria now. Sampdoria.
Oh, Sampdoria?
Yeah. Just moved last week.
How many clubs has he played for in Italy? Must be five or six.
Has he not played for someone else as well? Lecce maybe, or Nibari?
He's had four or five maybe.
I've ever told you about that trip that Hugh went on. So he went and toured Italy. So one day I'm just
by train
in the summer. Yeah. So obviously I'm away from here in the summer, whatever I was doing. And I get this like WhatsApp from just an unknown number. No, obviously, the Nokia, I can't
what
do that.
To say?
So it was just like, "Hi Gordon, this is..." What was her name, maybe? Do you remember?
Doesn't matter.
"Hi Gordon, it's Sarah. I'm the tour guide, and Hugh Keevans has asked me to send you some of his holiday pictures." And it's just him at the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Him at like whatever.
You have
else.
Shorts on here.
Of course not.
Steady on.
Dear. Right, we're nearly done in Pilsen. Let's try and squeeze in another call. Andy's on. How are you, Andy?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Take it away, Andy.
I have been listening out to the debate on the Brendan Rodgers and what Celtic home and stuff like this. Brendan Rodgers last year sanctioned Adam Eder, Arnie Ingles, and Austin Trusty, three of which are, let's face it, two are in the feature and one's not doing very well. So the Celtic board have won 13 out of 14 in the last 13 out of 14 titles. So I don't think their trust is under any investigation for me. But the question would be for me is, do you trust Brendan Rodgers with your money? Considering they sanctioned over 26 million quid worth of players and none of them's tearing the place up, we'll put it that way.
Well, let me give you another stat since you've come on stat ready. Brendan Rodgers has won 11 of the 13 trophies that he's contested as Celtic manager. Are you suggesting that he's in some way suspect?
I would suggest that you've got two different agendas there. You've got a board that's focused on running a football club and Brendan Rodgers who's focused on Brendan Rodgers and Celtic football team. So it's two different agendas. What I will say to you is this, is that if I look at Peter Law, who comes in for a lot of stick, for every, I think David Murray came out with a stat years ago, for every pound Celtic spend...
Every fiver, he'll put a tenner.
But let me tell you this. See, for every fiver Peter Lowell's taken out, he's probably put 15 quid back in because of his business acumen. So you can't dismiss that.
It wouldn't bother you then if Brendan Rodgers went at the end of the season?
If I'm being completely honest, Hugh, and this will really just light up Twitter in a minute, after Brendan Rodgers' comments 2 weeks ago, I would have sacked him the day after it.
Which comment?
The comment about the board not supporting them and they've got different aspirations. At the end of the day, that's the same guys that are paying Brendan Rodgers' wages and who went out on a limb to bring Brendan back when he had nobody else. So at the end of the day, loyalty is a big thing at Celtic Football Club. And for me, I think it was highly disrespectful to the guys that employ him.
Yeah, he didn't actually say the board are refusing to back me. He always puts it in...
I think Brendan's
diplomatic language.
Yeah.
It's got to be a two-way street, though. I mean, Andy, this, you know, Brendan Rodgers has been good for Celtic. You're coming on and saying Celtic has been good for him and bringing him back, which is fine, but he's been good for Celtic. Come on.
Oh, I'm not saying he's not been good for Celtic, but you're right in what you're saying. It's a two-way street. So what we're saying is the board were the guys that initially appointed Brendan Rodgers. They're the same board appointed Ange Postecoglou, who were both extremely successful at Celtic Football Club. So you have to, as a Celtic supporter, say, well, I have to trust this board because we're sitting there forever when the onslaught actually really materialises for Rangers, when Rangers really push the boat out. Celtic have got the money to combat that there. Right now, we don't need to spend that money to combat what Rangers are doing at the other side of the...
But what if that's not your sole priority? Is it your great ambition, Andy, to just keep your nose in front of Celtic, or do you want in front of Rangers, or do you want to become the best version of Celtic you can be? Because if you're obsessed with just staying in front of Rangers, then you're right. But I thought, given the level of dominance Celtic have had over the last more than a decade, I thought it had become about more than that.
Well, obviously the progression's Europe, but what I'll do is I'll say to you that the PSG never won the Champions League when they signed Mbappe, Neymar and Messi in the same team. They actually won the league, the Champions League last year with a team. No way individuals. So at the end of the day, you know what? Good coaches coach, bad coaches poach.
Well, I'll say one thing to you, Andy, in conclusion. Be very careful what you wish for. Because when Brendan Rodgers isn't there, you may have profound cause to regret it.
Well, I'll take that on board, but that's exactly the same philosophy I have with that Celtic board.
Mm-hmm. Who are willing to take on a Champions League playoff round while not adding to a front three that may be Yang, Ida and Maeda.
But then, as Andy says, you know... It is a bit more nuanced because look at the money that was given last season, Marvin. You know, it was only a year ago. It's not like, oh yeah, forget that. It was 5 years ago and they've not, you know, spent money since. It's not, you know, Kieran Tierney's wages won't be small either. You know, there's probably just a slight grey area in the middle that we should always try and acknowledge.
Yeah, no, definitely. But, you know, for me, Brendan Rodgers is well within his rights to have said what he said. And I think it's obvious to absolutely everybody, you know, that they do need to improve. Yes, they spent money last season, but as Brendan Rodgers said, he wants to keep on improving the team year after year. So that means money needs to be spent again. He knows in the forward areas they need more players. And whether it's the board saying we have to wait or we don't want to spend that amount of money, I don't know. But I'm with Hugh. Brendan Rodgers has been so successful for Celtic. And listen, don't get me wrong, they're a massively successful football club. But he's been absolutely brilliant for them. And, you know, I'd be very careful, you know, of people saying that, oh, you know, Brendan Rodgers, we don't really... If he goes, he goes. Or I would have sacked him or whatever else. He's important for Celtic. Celtic are important for him, but yeah, they do need to spend money, there's no doubt.
Right, let's try and round off this teaser then. Can you name me another set of brothers that's played in the top flight since 2000, over 50 appearances each? You've got the Marvin, who's the one you should have got? Andrew and Graham Shinney. The McGinns, the Forrest, the Kellys, the Caddens. You've got a few left. What about...
Suitors?
No. What about a well-known Celtic striker who you hear from quite often?
Sutton.
Yes, the
Sutton. Oh, John Sutton, of course.
Right, okay, what else?
We've got two more.
Right, played for Motherwell, then went to Rangers, and then his brother came to Motherwell. Quite a hard one. No? I'll need to put you out of your misery in some of these, I think. No, the Laws, Nicky and Josh Law.
Oof.
You're looking for... You'll remember these two, Hugh, Derek and Darren Young.
Of course, yeah.
And Flavio and Marco Paichao. Remember them, the Akis? Were they even twins, maybe?
What?
Or they were brothers? Not remember them? They're like the bleached hair and they think they used to do a little like dance celebrate. Never mind. That's
have Jed, they danced
that's
again?
I'm thinking of. That's just, I'm getting mixed up with Jedward. Anyway, Rangers are 2-1 down in the night, but 4-2 up in aggregate. They're going to go through, and we'll look back on it all tomorrow from 6. Have a good one.